Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm David Martos. This is the 79th edition of the Mostra di Venezia, and we're here with Steve James, director of A Compassionate Spy, out of competition here. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, glad to be here.
How do you feel here in Venice, premiering this film?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, I've never been to Venice before.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I've never had a film in the festival, and it's just been kind of an extraordinary thing to be here. It's such an amazing festival and city.
The story you depict in the film is amazing, and I know how you got to it, but please tell us how you knew the story of Death Hole.
We were first approached by a journalist that we interviewed in another film who met Joan, Ted's wife, widow, mm-hmm, and he had a particular fascination with this part of history. And he was just really struck by her, and so he reached out to us and said, I think there's a film here about this guy Ted Hall, and his wife is amazing. And based on learning from, his name's Dave Lindorf, and he became a producer in the film, based on that, we went to Cambridge, UK, and spent 4 days with Joan and her daughters, and spent a lot of time talking to Joan on camera, getting the story, and it continued to be even more extraordinary, and that led me to want to turn it into a film.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for our viewers and listeners, Ted was a very young scientist in the 40s.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. He started to pass on information about the nuclear experiments to Russia.
Yes, I mean, he was an 18-year-old senior at Harvard, mm-hmm, which for, you know, that's usually how old you are when you're a freshman in the U.S. college. But so he was extraordinarily precociously gifted, intelligent, and he was recruited as an 18-year-old to go to Los Alamos. And at the ripe old age of 19, he made this incredible decision that he was going to pass secrets to the Soviets, which is extraordinary.
Mm. My colleague Pierre, who is here behind the camera, told me he saw the film too, and he told me he thought Ted could have been the central piece that began the era of the Cold War.
Well, I think he played a role in that. There's no question. I think we would have had a Cold War. Well, here's the thing. Ted's biggest fear was that the U.S. post-World War II would preemptively obliterate the Soviet Union because the U.S. alone would have this terrible weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Had that happened, there would probably have been no Cold War because there would have been no Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Okay? But then think of the loss. Had that not happened, we would have eventually ended up with a Cold War because the Soviet Union was working on a bomb. What Ted did was help them get it more quickly. So had the U.S. not obliterated the Soviet Union, we would have ended up with these two superpowers building weapons and arming themselves up in a Cold War.
Mm-hmm. Your movie describes the life that Joan and Ted led together during decades, and they were like avoiding prosecution for years. How's the recollection of Joan's? I mean, how does she tackle this?
I'm not sure what your question is.
How does she remember and how did they do it? I mean, how did they manage to do it?
Yes.
During decades?
Well, so yes, I mean, her recollections are extraordinary, and she's a terrific storyteller, and she remembers it all very vividly. I think what the film tries to make clear is that even though the FBI figured out what Ted had done, they figured it out from the breaking the code, the Soviet Union Venona Code from World War II, and that wasn't enough to take into court and convict him. So what they needed him to do, which is why they brought him in, was they needed him to confess. They needed to find incriminating evidence beyond that, and they could never find it. And Ted never broke and was a very cool customer and stonewalled them and then stopped talking to them. And they couldn't get the evidence to ever bring him to justice, if you will. Now, 50 years later, when they declassified the Venona documents, then it became more known in the public, and so then that led to a book being written and some more more general knowledge of what Ted had done. But at that point, you know, I think the U.S. government had decided they were not interested in prosecuting Ted. He was a dying 70 or some year old man. So that 50 years after the fact, they weren't going to drag him into court and try him.
Mm-hmm. Your film shows us the tapes he recorded.
Yes.
In which he tells it all. Why do you think he decided to become public and honest in these tapes?
Well, those tapes... So the interview, there's two primary sources of Ted speaking in the film. There's a third, but it's not as significant. One is an interview that was granted to CNN and the BBC for a documentary series called The Cold War, and that came out after the book was published. So they went and interviewed him, and in the book, much of what Ted had done had been revealed at that point, because Ted cooperated with that book. There was still some care taken. It was too nuanced to try to tease apart in the film, but there was still some care taken with exactly what Ted admitted to. And if you look at the, which I did because I edited the film, if you look at the 3-hour interview that the CNN and BBC did with Ted, there's a lot of places where the interviewer is frustrated with Ted because he wants him to say it more firmly, and Ted is like, I'm not going to do that, right? So there was some caretaking, because there was still the possibility that the U.S., despite declassifying the documents, might come after him.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, which was good. But then the second interview, in which Joan is a part of, that's the one that they recorded for posterity with no intention of ever that being made public. They were just recording that, I think, for their family. And he's actually more candid in that interview. He speaks to it. He speaks to more overtly to what he did in that interview, because I think he never thought that that would necessarily see the light of day.
I see. And I have a last question for you. What do you think, which role do you think your movie plays in light of the present events? I mean, the new tension between Russia and the Western countries, and the nuclear worries surrounding Ukraine and its situation.
Right. I think, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how people view it in this current context. When we started the film, there was no war in Ukraine, right? I mean, for most of the time we were making the film, there was no war in Ukraine. I think some people watching this film will think that Ted shouldn't have done what he did. I mean, clearly, I think that's going to be one of the reactions to this film, and that's fine. I mean, I think it's an excellent debate as to whether he should have ultimately acted in the way he did. And I think some people looking at the war in Ukraine and the saber rattling by Putin will think, see, look what you helped unleash, this terrible, you know, powerful, evil Soviet Union. What I hope they also, people who are inclined to think that way, what I also hope they think about is the fact that so far there has been no deployment of nuclear weapons since World War II. And the only country that dropped them was the U.S. That's a historical fact. And so for all of the problems of the arms race and mutually assured destruction and all of that, it has effectively prevented to now, and let's pray that it continues, the use of nuclear weapons in battle.
That's food for thought. Yeah. Steve, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Steve is the director of A Compassionate Spy Out of Competition here in Venice. I'm David Martos. We are in the 79th edition of the Mostra di Venezia, and this is Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.